Welcome back to the deep dive. Okay, let's unpack this. The world of AI isn't just moving fast, it's practically rewriting itself daily.
It really is.
And today's stack of sources, wow, it really shows us why. Our mission, as always, is to cut through all the noise, get those important nuggets, the surprising facts, and, you know, the deeper insights. Basically a shortcut to being truly well-informed.
Mm-hmm.
And today, August 25th, 2025, has been an absolute whirlwind of AI developments.
It truly has. What's become clear, I think, from looking at today's news is how quickly AI is not just, like, creating new tools, but it's profoundly challenging our assumptions, our basic assumptions about trust, ethics, even human skill.
Right.
You'll see, today isn't just about innovation. It's really about fundamental shifts across tech, business, biology, even geopolitics.
It feels like the fabric of everything is being rewoven, sometimes without us even seeing it.
That's a good way to put it. Invisibly, sometimes.
Okay, let's start with a major player, a potentially game-changing move, Apple. They're reportedly in early talks with Google.
Of using Gemini, yeah.
Exactly, to power a completely rebuilt Siri, which for iPhone users, this is huge, especially since, you know, Siri's big upgrade has faced setback after setback.
Pushing it to 2026 now, I heard.
All the way to 2026.
So the deeper insight here, I think, is that even these massive, vertically integrated tech giants like Apple, they're kind of admitting, maybe tacitly, that the pace of AI innovation is just too fast.
And the talent war is too fierce.
Exactly. So. Too fierce for anyone to truly go it alone. So this isn't just like a practical step. It feels more like a profound strategic concession.
Redefining the walled garden.
Yeah, in the age of AI. It shows a necessary, maybe, humility in the face of this blistering progress.
But that's a huge shift in philosophy for Apple, isn't it? If they're relying on Google's foundational models, does that raise new questions, like about data or even the Apple experience, given Google's scale in AI?
Absolutely. Those are the crucial questions. Now, Google is reportedly building a custom Gemini model designed specifically to run on Apple's private servers.
Okay, so contained.
Supposedly. And they're already training a test version. But, you know, the sheer amount of data needed for training and the potential for models to drift over time. These private setups might not be as isolated as we think long term.
Right.
Apple's clearly trying to keep control. They're still developing two internal Siri versions, Linwood and Glenwood, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
And they've looked at partnerships with Anthropic, OpenAI, too. ChatGPT already helps with some Siri answers, remember?
True.
Bloomberg said a final decision is still several weeks away. So it's a calculated risk, really, trading some control for that cutting-edge capability.
Okay, so collaboration pushing innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of collaborations, another big one just dropped. Meta. They announced a new partnership with Midjourney.
Midjourney. Known for that very distinctive aesthetic technology.
Exactly. For future AI models and products. This feels like Meta acknowledging that sometimes, you know, the best creative spark comes from outside.
It's a smart move for Meta, I think. Mm. What's really remarkable is their willingness to look outside their own huge labs beyond just poaching talent.
Which they also do.
Which they also do, yes. But to actually partner, to bring Midjourney's unique, almost ethereal visual vibe to its billions of users.
They really do have a recognizable style.
They do. It's a visual signature that's hard to replicate.
Yeah.
So this signals, I think, a new approach for Meta, pushing their own AI development forward in a really competitive creative space, especially for visuals.
Okay, here's the question. Is true independence really sustainable when your core tech is so deeply plugged into Meta's giant ecosystem? Billions of users. Isn't there a risk that Midjourney's vibe gets diluted? Or influenced by Meta's corporate goals?
That's the tension, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right at the heart of these partnerships. Meta's chief AI officer, Alexander Wang, he confirmed it's a technical collaboration, combining teams, upgrading visual capabilities across Meta's whole lineup.
So imagine MovieGen.
Yeah, imagine MovieGen, even the research models like Dino V3.
Mm.
But despite this deep integration, Midjourney's founder, David Holtz, he really emphasized their continued independence, called themselves a community-backed research lab with no investors.
We'll see how that plays out.
The challenge will be exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
Can Midjourney keep that distinct identity and creative freedom while powering a behemoth like Meta? It's a very delicate balance.
Okay, so collaboration driving innovation, new creative stuff. But what happens when cooperation and competition blur into, well, legal battle.
Right.
That's exactly what's happening with Elon Musk's companies, XAI and X. They're suing Apple and OpenAI.
Yeah, this isn't partnership. This is alleged market manipulation.
Exactly.
This lawsuit really forces us to look at the power dynamics, right, in this fast-evolving AI landscape. The competition among the giants is fierce.
And the questions it raises are critical, aren't they? What does this mean for consumer choice, for real innovation, if these alleged anti-competitive things are allowed to happen?
It's a direct challenge to how these big ecosystems are built and maintained.
The core allegation in Musk's complaint is anti-competitive collusion to maintain monopolies, both in smartphones and generative AI. Specifically, the suit claims Apple is deprioritizing rival chatbots like Grok in the App Store rankings.
While favoring OpenAI.
Integrating ChatGPT directly into iOS. The lawsuit asks a federal court to stop this unlawful conduct. What kind of precedent could this set if it actually goes to court?
Well, it's a bold legal challenge. It aims right at the heart of that default position, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For Apple to integrate ChatGPT so deeply and then reportedly influence App Store visibility, that could easily be seen as leveraging their platform dominance unfairly.
Anti-competitively.
Right. If Musk's suit gets any traction, it could force platforms like Apple to treat all AI offerings more equitably, which could, you know, open up the playing field for smaller innovators, ensure more diverse choices for us, the users.
Instead of just cementing the big players.
Exactly. It's a battle for that default mindshare, and the stakes are just enormous.
And beyond the AI models themselves, even the hardware, the basic chips that power all this, even that's feeling the pressure. Global forces.
Oh, yeah. TSMC.
The Taiwanese semiconductor giant. Crucial manufacturer for basically everyone. They're removing all Chinese manufacturing equipment from their new 2-nanometer production lines.
Which is a massive undertaking. Logistically, technologically, huge.
Wow.
And this move really highlights that critical, often overlooked role of geopolitics in shaping the actual supply chain for advanced tech.
Including the processors essential for AI.
Absolutely essential. It goes way beyond just efficiency now. It's about strategic independence, global tech development. It's forcing companies to completely rethink their manufacturing footprint, often at great cost.
And it's driven, partly at least, by fears of potential U.S. sanctions linked to that proposed Chip EQAP Act.
That seems to be a major factor, yes.
Yeah.
The Chip EQAP Act aims to boost U.S. chip making, reduce reliance on foreign, particularly Chinese, supply chains.
So TSMC is also reviewing its whole supply chain, materials, chemicals, trying to reduce Chinese components everywhere, in Taiwan, in their U.S. factories.
For advanced production, yes.
Yeah.
Which is a big shift from their 3-nanometer process, where they apparently found the technical risks of swapping were too high.
How hard is it for a company like TSMC to untangle and rebuild something that complex, especially for cutting-edge 2-nanometer chips?
It's extraordinarily difficult, almost unprecedented, really. Like you said, they didn't do it for 3-nanometer because it was too risky. Now they're doing it for 2-nanometer, which is even more advanced.
Oh.
This isn't just scrapping a few machines. It's a monumental engineering challenge, procurement challenge, everything from raw materials to specialized tools, chemicals. It just shows the extreme pressure they're under.
And the long-term strategic bets countries are making.
Exactly. On securing their critical tech infrastructure.
Yeah.
Essentially redrawing the map of global semiconductor production.
Okay, well, let's shift gears a bit. This next development, it really stretches the imagination. AI reversing aging, not just slowing it, but making old cells young again.
Yeah, this OpenAI and Retro Biosciences case study.
Yeah.
It's pretty mind-bending science.
Tell us about it.
Well, what's profound here is the potential of these custom AI models. One's trained by domain experts, right? Not just general AI.
Okay.
They seem able to unlock scientific discoveries that maybe even the most powerful general-purpose AI would just never stumble upon. It's turning biology, chemistry, material science into, like, computational playgrounds.
Compressing decades of lab work into weeks.
Or even days, potentially. It's not just optimization. It's accelerating fundamental discovery at an exponential rate.
That's incredible. So how do they do it? They built a custom AI model, GPT-4B Micro, trained specifically on biological data, not the internet.
Correct. And this AI was used to redesign Yamanaka proteins. Those are the famous master regulators that can basically hit reset on a cell, wind back its biological clock.
Wow. And the AI designed proteins.
Achieved an astonishing 50 times better efficiency than the original Nobel Prize winning versions from 2012.
50 times.
50. Showed dramatically better DNA repairabilities. Multiple labs validated this, essentially reversing a key signature of aging at the cellular level.
Okay, what does this mean realistically? Is the fountain of youth around the corner?
Well, let's temper expectations slightly. The Fountain of Youth for humans is still a very, very long way off.
Yeah.
But the implications for medicine, for anti-aging research, are staggering.
How so?
This isn't just incremental improvement. It's a leap forward in understanding and manipulating fundamental biological processes. For drug discovery, personalized medicine, understanding age-related diseases. The ability to design these proteins with such precision is a game changer.
So, targeting aging at its root?
Potentially, yes. Developing therapies that target the root causes, not just the symptoms, far faster than we ever imagined. The speed of discovery here is the real story.
From groundbreaking science to our daily lives, AI is just everywhere now, moving incredibly fast. Malaysia just launched RitBank, touted as the world's first AI-powered bank.
Wow.
And then, totally different sphere, across the globe in Zurich, we're seeing robo-dogs starting food delivery trials.
Robo-dogs delivering takeout.
Yeah. These aren't science fiction props anymore. They're becoming part of the actual landscape.
These examples really do illustrate vividly how AI is moving beyond our screens, don't they? Into tangible, real-world services.
Transforming everything from finance to food delivery.
Exactly. It highlights that practical, transformative power of AI in the physical world, making everyday tasks more efficient, or at least more novel.
So, okay, RitBank. Digital only, powered by the Ret AI assistant, built on a local LLM, Ilmu, supports conversational banking, multiple languages, gives real-time insights, helps with bills.
Sounds convenient.
And then the robo-dogs in Zurich. Just Eat Takeaway, partnered with a Swiss robotics firm, Rye VR. These things cleverly blend wheels and legs.
Oh, interesting. So they can handle stairs.
Climb stairs, navigate obstacles, operate in different weather, delivering food autonomously. It's such a stark contrast, isn't it? Purely digital AI versus physical AI.
It is. But what are the hidden challenges with this kind of widespread customer-facing AI? Is it security, adoption hurdles?
Good question.
Those are precisely the right questions, I think. For RitBank, the big promise is personalized, always on financial advice. But the challenge, ensuring rock-solid data security, meeting regulations, and critically building customer trust in a fully automated system, people are still anxious about their money.
Understandable.
And for the robo-dogs, the technical hurdles, navigation, reliability, those are substantial. But maybe the biggest challenge is public perception, social acceptance.
Will people trust a robot with their dinner?
Exactly. What happens if it gets stuck?
Yeah.
Or, you know, has a weird interaction with a kid on the sidewalk? These aren't just engineering problems. They're social, psychological problems, too.
Okay, so AI is rolling out into daily life, making things efficient, maybe novel. But what happens when that daily AI integration isn't transparent? What if AI is subtly shaping our reality without us knowing or consenting?
Ah, yes. The YouTube situation.
Exactly. YouTube reportedly using AI secretly to edit users' shorts videos.
This is a really important one. It touches on, well, the potential erosion of trust, unseen manipulation of content, and that increasing challenge of figuring out what's real when AI is involved.
Authenticity, basically.
Fundamental questions of authenticity and creative ownership. Yeah.
So the report says AI-powered enhancements, sharpening, denoising, modifying visuals, all happening without telling creators, without asking permission. What's the motivation here? Is it really just to improve content, or is there something else going on? Engagement, perceived quality.
It's likely a mix, but the lack of transparency is the absolute core issue. Mm. You could argue, perhaps charitably, that it's an effort to automatically enhance visual quality, make shorts more appealing, boost engagement for YouTube.
Okay.
However, when AI invisibly alters a creator's work, it crosses a line, a big one, into content manipulation. It blurs the authorial intent. Who actually owns and controls the final product?
It's a slippery slope.
A very slippery slope where enhancement becomes silent editorializing, and creators lose agency over their own artistic output.
Mm.
This could lead to a serious backlash if creators feel their work is being hijacked.
Deeply concerning. And speaking of concerns, as AI gets more responsibility, we are unfortunately seeing its limits, especially in content moderation.
Oh, definitely.
Social media platforms are aggressively replacing human moderators with AI, despite, well, mounting evidence that the tech just isn't ready.
This really highlights a major ethical dilemma platforms are facing, isn't it? The drive for cost-cutting versus the absolute need for user safety.
Mm-hmm.
And AI, at least in its current form, You just struggle so deeply with nuance, with evolving human behavior, with that critical cultural context that underpins so much online communication.
Giving huge blind spots.
Huge blind spots that put vulnerable users at risk and let problematic content just slide through.
It's a serious issue. Real human consequences. TikTok, for instance, laid off about 150 moderators in Berlin just this month. That's nearly 40% of the team for Germany's 32 million users.
Wow, 40%.
And they plan to cut hundreds more across the UK and Asia, while investing heavily in AI moderation tech. Now, we know human moderators are expensive, and the job takes a huge psychological toll.
Absolutely. The trauma is real.
But the AI just isn't a perfect substitute. According to 13 professional moderators Bloomberg interviewed, the tech consistently fails at the most critical parts of the job.
What kind of failure rates are we talking
about? One TikTok moderator in Africa estimated AI fails up to 70% of the time. Another claimed AI suggestions don't match reality 80% of the time. Are these platforms just prioritizing the bottom line over safety?
Those failure rates, they're not just stats, are they? They represent a genuinely dangerous compromise. The problem isn't just spotting a bad keyword. It's understanding intent, sarcasm, cultural context, coded language that evolves constantly.
Right. The examples are bizarre.
Yeah, we've seen things like AI highlighting a low fuel gauge instead of a dangerous speedometer reading in a video. Or identifying children as 17-year-olds. Missing obvious contextual clues about violence or abuse. Completely failing with regional dialects or cultural nuances.
And the predators know how to game the system.
Even more disturbingly, yes. Child predators are known to study platform automation tactics. They evolve faster than the AI learns, using coded language like, let's party, or meet me on the Ghost app.
Putting X's between letters.
Exactly. When platforms catch on, they just invent new phrases. It's this dangerous high-stakes cat-and-mouse game where vulnerable users are always at risk because the AI lacks that sophisticated grasp of human communication and intent.
It really needs empathy and context.
Which current AI just doesn't have. It's a stark reminder.
It's truly alarming. And it's not just moderation where AI is falling short. A recent MIT study, a stark warning for businesses. 95% of generative AI pilots deliver no ROI. They're stuck in pilot purgatory.
95%, that's a huge number. And this study delivers a really critical message for enterprise AI adoption.
What's the method?
It suggests enterprise AI isn't failing because the models aren't powerful enough. It's failing because they don't admit what they don't know. The real shift needed is from building just smart AI to building reliable AI. AI that can actually integrate into how people work.
That's the core problem they found. Employees spending more time double-checking AI results than saving time. Because most systems are confidently wrong.
Confidently wrong. That's the killer phrase.
And they don't retain feedback, don't adapt to workflows. Hmm? The study contrasted this with the successful 5%. What do they do differently?
The successful ones build systems that, one, quantify uncertainty. They give confidence scores or even just say, I don't know.
Okay, that seems crucial.
Two, they flag missing context instead of just bluffing an answer. Three, they improve continuously from corrections and accuracy flywheel, they called it.
Learning from mistakes.
And four, they integrate properly into actual workflows where humans make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it so hard to build an AI that just says, I don't know?
Yeah.
And why aren't more businesses demanding that?
Good question.
It's kind of counterintuitive, maybe. For developers and users, there's this expectation that AI should be omniscient. Always have an answer.
Right.
Building an AI that admits ignorance requires a different engineering philosophy, focused on robustness, safety, not just generating output. Businesses often prioritize speed and seeming intelligence in pilots, not realizing confident wrongness causes more friction than it solves.
And we trust confident answers, even long ones.
We do. As humans, we tend to trust confidence. Overcoming that psychological barrier for the AI and for us using it, that's key to getting past pilot purgatory. Would you trust an AI more if it sometimes said, I don't know?
I think I probably would. Yeah, it feels more honest.
How do we balance speed versus verification in our actual workflows? That's the big question for implementation.
It's a fascinating challenge. And this potential for over-reliance, it's not just an enterprise issue. It can impact critical human skills, even in medicine.
Oh, yes.
A study in the Lancet Gastroenterology and Hepatology warns doctors might become overly dependent on AI, leading to a degradation of their own skills.
This is such a stark reminder of that potential for skill degradation when human expertise leans too heavily on AI tools.
It pushes us to think about how AI should really function, doesn't it?
As an augmentation, right? A co-pilot that enhances, not a replacement for critical human judgment and learned skills.
Right.
That balance is just crucial.
The specific finding was quite telling. After a few months of AI-assisted colonoscopy, doctors' ability to detect polyps dropped from 28% down to 22% when the AI was turned off.
That's a significant drop.
In a critical diagnostic skill, even for experienced professionals. Are we seeing a broader trend here? Could the convenience of AI tools inadvertently dull our own expertise in other fields too?
Absolutely. I think we are. It's not just medicine. Think about aviation. Pilots overly reliant on autopilot sometimes struggle with manual flying skills in emergencies.
Or just using GPS all the time and losing your sense of direction.
Exactly. The human brain is incredibly adaptive, but it also offloads tasks when there's an easier option. If AI handles the baseline detection or identification, that human skill pattern recognition, critical observation, diagnostic intuition, it can atrophy.
So the challenge is designing AI interfaces
that keep the human in the loop.
Yeah.
Actively engaged, learning, not just passively observing, to make sure our core competencies stay sharp.
Okay, finally, let's look at where AI itself is getting its information. This is fascinating, maybe surprising. Reddit has emerged as the top source for AI searches.
Surpassing Google. Wow. That indicates a truly significant shift, doesn't it, in the fundamental inputs for AI systems.
Yeah.
We're moving towards user-generated, discussion-based platforms as key knowledge sources, maybe more than traditional curated search engines.
And that raises huge questions, right, about quality, bias, veracity.
All of it. What kind of knowledge are our AI models being trained on? And ultimately, what kind of knowledge will they generate for us?
The numbers are stark. In June 2025, Reddit accounted for over 40% of all LLM output citations.
40%.
Almost double Google's 23.3%. Wikipedia was at 26.3%. YouTube, 23.5%. Yep. Both also higher than Google. So it seems like the collective, often unverified intelligence of online communities is becoming AI's primary teacher.
That's quite something.
What does this mean for things like filter bubbles, misinformation, or just the overall quality of AI-generated info?
The implications are enormous. On one hand, you could say it democratizes knowledge input, but on the other, it introduces a whole new layer of complexity around bias and truth.
Because Reddit is, well, Reddit.
Exactly. While it's a rich source of diverse human experience, niche expertise, it's also a hotbed of opinion, speculation, unverified claims. If AI models are primarily learning there, they will ingest the biases, the jargon, the factual inaccuracies prevalent in those communities.
Which could make filter bubbles worse.
Could exacerbate filter bubbles in AI content. Yeah. Make it harder to tell fact from opinion. Potentially speed up misinformation spread if the AI can't critically evaluate its sources.
So the knowledge AI gives us
could be more a reflection of collective human opinion rather than rigorously vetted facts.
Yeah.
And that's a subtle but really powerful shift.
So wrapping this up. What does it all mean? We've seen AI make old cells young again, power new banks, inspire huge tech partnerships, even reshape global supply chains.
Amazing innovation.
But we've also seen its struggles with nuance and moderation, its confidently wrong nature in business, how it might degrade our skills, and this startling shift in where it learns its own truth. It's complex.
Brimming with breathtaking innovation and significant challenges. Both sides of the coin.
Absolutely.
And so, as you, our listener, navigate this landscape, you're constantly learning, adapting, right?
Yeah.
Given this pace, the ethical questions about transparency, bias, the potential for skill degradation or confidently wrong AI, how do you see your relationship with AI evolving, say, in the next year, personally, professionally?
Yeah, how will you discern truth and trust?
In a world increasingly shaped by algorithms, and where will you seek reliable information when even the AI is learning from Reddit? It's a landscape that really demands constant critical engagement from all of us, I think.